Well, one of the things that people don't realize if you're going into academics, okay, is that this helps. Being a member of a SIG, an officer of a SIG, helps your scholarly work at the university. I'm an adjunct faculty member, but not a core faculty member at any of the schools. But if I was a core member, I would have to produce some type of volunteer or service as part of my employment with the university. So I want all new people out there who are maybe interested in teaching to think about now getting on a national committee somewhere so that when you go to your job interview, you have that already in your back pocket.
Hi, Dr. Mary Beth Geiser. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me here on the podcast. I appreciate the opportunity.
I was so excited to meet you at AMP this year, and we had some great conversation. So I wanted to follow up and talk to you. So thank you for taking the time.
Perfect. I love coming to the conference because you and I hadn't met actually until we met downstairs after the fellowship ceremony. And it's always a great networking opportunity where you can go through and find someone you haven't met before previously in your life. And then also like, I think we need to do something together.
Definitely. So let me tell the audience a little bit about you. So Dr. Geiser here is adjunct faculty and a CI at Marquette University and Concordia, St. Paul, Minnesota. She also is affiliate faculty in the fellowship program at Regis University and a senior PT at Aurora Sports Health in Mequon, Wisconsin. But the reason we're here today is because as I was talking to you, I realized that you were the former VP and current president of the Clinical Faculty SIG for AMPT. And I've been trying to promote the SIGs through the podcast. And I really want to shine work on what you're doing and hear more about it and use this as a platform for you to promote all the great stuff you're doing.
That sounds great. I joined the SIG as the treasurer back in 2018 and worked my way through different committee projects and stuff like that, then got elected as VP, and then recently took over the role as president. So with the academic and clinical faculty SIG, we're trying to reach out to all different kinds of people with that SIG. So obviously someone like me who's been teaching in an adjunct role for a while, you always look for resources for educators. But we're trying to reach out to people who are TAs or want to be TAs or interested in teaching or fellows that would like to give a lecture somewhere but just need an opportunity. So the SIG has been out there to promote both ends of the spectrum for teaching and then also to invite the newbies in or the wannabes in to a group. So it's been a nice committee to work through. I started out working with some colleagues of mine that I knew through my fellowship because they asked me to come be more involved on a national level. And then just when I was elected president, we had six new people, myself and five others, that had never worked together. So two other people had worked up their way through non-com or other officers, but then the other people from the group were brand new, which was great for elections because we're always looking for new members and new volunteers.
That's awesome. And you have your own LLC. Tell us a little bit about that too.
Yeah, I started LLC about 10 years ago because there was a need in the community for some pro bono work. So that's been nice. I've done some continuing education. I do lectures at high schools and smaller like elementary schools just about physical therapy, which I think is great for that. And I try to, you know, empower women and girls to go into the healthcare profession. So that's another part of mine. And then it's always good if there's someone who's willing to pay you along the way, but you do your job because you love it.
I love that. I think you represent what a lot of fellows represent, which is that we have our hands in a lot of different things and we're trying to be awesome at all of them. But I think it's great that you're trying to move the profession forward and in all the ways that you can. And I got that vibe from you at AMPT and was like, this is someone we totally need to highlight. And in speaking to all of your students, they had nothing but amazing things to say about you. And they clearly shined through their presentations at AMP. So that was awesome.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that. We had a good showing this year at AMP, which is always nice. So I encourage everyone to submit because you never know what they're going to take each year. And sometimes they just take it all.
And you're like, oh, they took it all.
That's okay.
That's awesome. So I know that one of the main resources your group produces is the Edutopia series. Can you tell us a little bit about how that project came to be and what is it for those that may not be familiar with it?
So the Edutopia is our big kind of like aha moments of the year. We started out doing two a year, and then for the last 2 years, we've been able to produce three Edutopias, where we come up with a theme as a committee. And the first one kind of came about by one of those, like, I don't want to say conversations on a napkin, where somebody brought it up and we'd want to promote a way to help members in the SIG that we knew were, you know, had a need for some content. And this was pre-COVID, remember? So we brought this up. We were trying to put a platform out that was electronic and easy and an hour. And we asked some guest speakers to come in. And at that time, we were trying to get the speakers to talk about something they were passionate about. It then morphed into kind of let's put all this together in different themes. And what theme could tag team on to the one that we just did? And then we started talking about like, well, who could we get on the webinar, and what names could we draw from the public that people would recognize that could help in educating? Again, free webinar for that. And as we started looking into the future for the next year, we started thinking about what is needed. And of course, you know, after COVID, everyone started flipping classrooms and doing stuff live. And like Zoom is Zoom now, everyone knows it. But at the time, we did not have the resources of how to even teach on Zoom. So that then became a big crux of our passion for the SIG. And then what we started doing is talking to the new people that were joining the SIG, and they were teaching a different way than, say, I was for these years. And that's how the last couple presentations came about, of like, how do you help the student that's coming to you that needs help? That was Matthew Braun, and I did one on positive coaching. That was a recent one. But then we started looking at backward design. Like, what if you just had to start your class from scratch? And then the last ones that we did were just, again, some helpful hints and stuff like that. So I can talk through each of the Edutopias if that's something of interest, or we can just hit some highlights along the way, whatever works best. So
I like that you point out some of those topics. I think people listening can resonate with that. Like for me, starting your own class from scratch is something that that might resonate with me as I'm moving into more of an adjunct faculty role. But how could we access those materials? And if we were interested in, who are they tailored to?
Yep. So let's start with going with your membership. So your membership at AAMP, and you can join any of the SIGs that are available and out there. So we're just one of several SIGs that AAMP has. So you click into your profile and you join the SIG. And as a part of that, you'll get some information that when the hands-on comes out, you'll see my name or my face come up with a summary, usually each month, of something that we're doing. So by joining the SIG, you're considered a member of the SIG and a member of AAMP. They are open to everybody now. We even just recently opened up all webinars with AAMP to non-members for a small fee of $10 to go in there. And then you'll look for announcements that come out. So the very first one that came out, we just didn't know how many people would be attending, and that's, we dropped it on hands-on, like the monthly part that comes through. So if you are not part of our SIG, we would encourage you to join.
I think that's good to know. You know, I don't think everyone thinks that they can just join a bunch of SIGs and get a bunch of information necessarily. So it's good to know that you can join that, especially if you're not in that role or if it's something you're interested in. Could students join?
Yes, students are able to join. So as long as you're part of AAMP, you can be part of the SIG.
Very cool. So why don't you highlight a few of your favorite topics from your series?
Well, that'll be good because like there's eight of them. So it's always hard to pick your favorites. I typically am the MC for all the Edutopias. So when we did our first one, it was going through with Craig Wassinger. And then we had Rain Osborne, who I actually knew from a while back, just asking a favor. And then our own Dear Chloe came in and worked with us. And they gave us topics that they thought would be helpful. So the hardest thing about that was just introducing the concept of Edutopia, coming up with a branded name and seeing if it works or sticks. And it did. So that was good for us. When we go through the next part, then it was talking through like remediation and mentoring, and some of the fellows that I'd worked with in my past were willing to share their experiences. So that was like our Edutopia 2. And we actually started putting the name or the brand or the topic all together. Well, then those two kind of took off and we were like, okay, well, we need to come up with something that could be kind of big, right? So then all of a sudden down the road, I reach out to Chad Cook and I'm like, Chad, I talk about your paper that talks about social determinants of health in class all the time. And I think this is one of those missed things that we don't teach students about. How do we interview them? Why does it matter? Where is the health disparity with these patients? So then he came in and went through and did his talk, and we based that off of him. And then he was able to bring along some of his cronies, which were also very nice for that edutopia that we had. And then as we went through and started looking for different options of people and trying to bring that together, you can't talk about social determinants of health without bringing in cultural humility, right? So cultural humility and what that means and how do you teach that and why is that important was our next talk. And then Ira Gorman was my go-to because he and I have worked together through Regis. And I said, Ira, let's pull in some other people that you know that could help out. So when Ira came in and worked with on that, he brought in Dawn Magnuson, and she was our kind of combined speaker. Chad Cook, when he came in, he brought Jennifer Reniker with him and also Roy Film. And Roy Film is part of AOMP as well. So those two kind of brought together this part of education that people don't think about, right, when they go through those areas. Now, all that's good because you bring in a big name person or a couple big name people. And then the person after that's like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to talk on there. So what we did with one of the other edutopias was repurpose a talk that I helped with and worked with at AOMP, which was So You're Interested in Academics. And myself and Craig and Jody Young and another person went through and talked on what it took for us to get into academics. So I started out as a TA in a cardiopulmonary class, and I had that job for a while. And then that professor went out sick, and the person who was covering was exercise physiologist, and she came in limping to class just to cover. And on the way out, I was like, what's going on with that ankle of yours? And here she had torn her Achilles, not getting very good physical therapy. So with her and I talking, I ended up teaching in her class later that same semester. And then my career kind of spiraled from there. But Craig Wassinger came and did a presentation. Jody came in and everyone talked about like even just the different degrees that you can have and how do you go about getting them and where do you want to teach at and what level do you want to teach at. So I'm not trying to highlight that one as like my favorite, but having a vested interest in that topic and that idea and presenting at AOMP. Danu and I did a podcast on that particular edutopia because people just are interested in how to open doors, right? So I think if you're going to start with how to teach or what to do about teaching, maybe start with that edutopia first and then kind of work backwards or around, kind of like how people say you should see Star Wars out of order, right? So maybe you should do Edutopia out of order, starting with that. But then when we came about the ideas of what we needed to do, we started realizing it's the resources that the faculty might need. So then we just said, we got to do more stuff with like course design and working with students and talking on topics that help you become a better educator. So when Matthew Brah and I did the positive coaching, it's kind of hard to be the MC and the speaker at the same time, but he and I had worked together at Concordia in St. Paul. So I knew that some of the positive things we were already working through in our careers would be of interest, right? Like we could share what we did. So that was the first time ever we did breakout sessions on Edutopia. So I was a fake student and he was the professor, and then we switched roles, but we went out and tried a breakout group live during Edutopia. And thanks to AOMP's help, they were able to manage the breakout room so you don't have to do all things at one time as the speaker. And then the very last ones that we were working on as well started taking time, pulling 5-6 people together in a small group live right during the webinar, saying you have 5 minutes to talk about this and then come back and give us your feedback. And I think those last ones are probably the platform we'd like to go with, but You know, we do them on Mondays. We usually meet on the third Monday of every month. Those are our meetings for the SIG. And we try to put Edutopias on a Monday also because we know our staff is available. But if you have any other questions on those or want to hear more about the others, have some notes with me. And if I didn't mention all speakers, I'll apologize for that. We can make sure we do a follow-up handout or something with that or a summary. But they're all listed there in AAMP, and we're working on the website for some new changes. So
I love that. I think it gives the audience a taste of the type of content you put out. And I think you drawing from your experience and sharing that is exactly what fellowship means and hopefully inspires people in the role and those that want to become in the role. Are these events live always? Are they recorded? Is one of my questions for you.
Yeah, so the events are held live, but we do record them. And that's been an interesting thing because at times, like when Chad Cook was speaking, we had over 60 people registered and maybe 25, 35 came out. I forgot to bring the numbers with me. But some people we know are registering just for the sake of hearing the recording later. And you know what? We're okay with that. We're also contemplating as a SIG, like, should we just be releasing these anyways, even without the live content? Right. So that's something I'm going to be bringing up to the board at AAMP of what is it that the members want? And these are all big picture forward thinking ideas of, let's say there is a fellow out there that's interested in teaching and wants to get their name out there and wants to do something that helps their CV. Could they work with us and the SIG about producing a helpful hint or a tidbit or a teaching pearl or something like that? And we just start linking all of those to the SIG. We have our committee meeting tonight. So we'll be talking about some of these ideas as to where should the SIG go. But I'm very proud of the fact that our SIG put through two talks at AAMP this year. And then that came about because of an Edutopia that we did. Like, you can't, backward design is great. And doing a class backwards and starting with a concept and getting all the way down to learning objectives is a way to organize a class. But we didn't think that the hour of doing the webinar and the pre-recorded material was enough. So we opted to submit for AAMP as a breakout. And that went through, and a concept called Make It Stick went through, which is a book that you can read as an educator and take all that information and translate it into physical therapy. And my committee worked hard to get the content out and then also to work together as a team to do the presentation. So that was kind of fun because that shows how people can work together and produce a product. But I know there's people out there who want to help have a pearl that I don't know about and would be maybe interested in being a speaker down the road or even potentially helping us build this resource bank that we can talk more about in just a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I know one of the things you were trying to do was get more collaborators involved. And what is the SIG looking for besides obviously people to follow the content and to be engaged in that way? Are there other ways that the membership can support you in what the work that you're doing?
Yeah. So one of the things that we're going to be trying to look forward to is how do you survey your members, right? How do you find out from them what they need? Because a newbie academic person, like they got their PhD, they actually got a job, but they've never taught before, doesn't have a place to go. So when we created the Edutopia, we always have this pre-made material that is released ahead of time. And we're working on the best way to try to get that out there. Sometimes it's released early, sometimes it's just the week before, because all this is volunteer, even the speakers. No one is actually paid. So we're doing this all out of the goodness of our hearts, you know? But if someone is trying to figure out what to do, if you have pre-recorded material first, you can come to a live webinar and already be engaging, right? You don't have to learn everything cold from the start. So if we have somebody out there that is of interest and say, hey, by the way, Mary Beth, I find this to be a helpful way to run quizzes, or I think this is how I use Kahoot in the classroom. I've never used Kahoot until I started teaching up in Concordia St. Paul up in Minnesota. And we use Kahoot for all our reviews. And then we try to give prizes away for the top three winners of the Kahoot. And then some people just like that engagement. You can log in as, you know, yourself or a fun name, and then we try to figure out who the winner was at the end. So I think those are topics that people can bring to Edutopias in the future, or potentially a new concept of, should we just be doing some type of monthly tip that we release for those individuals? Now, if you're an experienced educator, you have the knowledge, you have the slides done, you have your successes and your failures. So even coming to the forefront and putting it out there, things that didn't work, I think are valuable pieces of information for educators. Like, I tried that. It failed badly. And this is why it failed badly. And here's how you can learn from my mistakes. We don't have that yet, right? And I could attest to the times I wrote a lecture and it bombed. I could attest to the point where I took a contract and I did not really know all the details involved. And then you had to just fix it, you had to fix it midstream. And if you come across an ethical situation in the classroom, there's really not a lot of free resources out there on how to deal with that. And that's what's really cool about being a member of AAMP. All the SIG content is free. Right. And even if you don't have a chance to be there live with us, or Monday's not your favorite day, or that time of day, because we're trying to span it across all time frames, like even time zones. Like, that's been interesting. Like, do we do 5 o'clock Hawaii time or 5 o'clock Milwaukee time where I'm at? Right. So with that free content, there's just so much potential. And even like these hands on, hands off, it's just a way to get information out there. And then that just makes the whole big picture better, in my opinion.
It's almost like what we would teach our students from a clinical exam standpoint, you're doing from a education standpoint, not just knowing what reps are good, but also knowing why that may not have been a good rep. And I love that. I feel like we need that. And oftentimes, at least from the colleagues that I know, they're building the plane as they're flying it, because they get some position to start a new course. And it's like, hey, you're going to just start this course. And it's a really stressful position to be in for them. So these resources, I'm sure, are invaluable.
Yep. And I always tell people, you know, one of the jobs I was always able to easily get is teaching electrotherapy and physical agents, because nobody wants to teach that class, right? So I've actually taught that coursework at 3 different universities. And I've been able to teach pain at a bunch of different universities, but it's been across the spectrum. Are you hiring me to teach about just TENS and give you a guest lecture? Because I have a really great TENS lecture. Or do you want me to teach the students from scratch about the safety of electricity and how some people don't use it because they don't understand it? And it's a cheap, easy thing that we can do that's been known to help chronic pain, right? So from that aspect, is somebody who is knowledgeable in a content is great. But if you didn't know that, like, trying to teach electrotherapy is what a lot of schools need help with, that's maybe what you should target in the area if you're trying to get a job. I mean, anyone in AAMP, you're going to talk to them and say, I want to teach orthopedics. I want to teach manual therapy, because that's why we belong to this group. But I'm a big collaborator. I've taught with different types of disciplines and professions. And I think that collaborative work is something that is missing from the educator standpoint. And I think as programs change and we move to hybrid, or you're asked to teach across 2 different workloads, like, you're hired to teach this class, but in order to be full-time, you have to help out in a course that you are not skilled in or not knowledgeable in. I mean, we're all skilled to teach it, but you have to work with, like, I had to work with a cardiopulmonary specialist in order to be the TA, but I do breathing and rib mobilizations and you know, things like that. I can teach education. I can recognize stressful situations. And I think I was able to blend that pretty well as a brand new TA, never taught before with that person. But now when I bring others in and collaborate with those individuals, I'm able to see their strengths, bring them to the classroom, and try to work that kind of stuff through, if that answers your question.
Yeah, there's definitely a vulnerability there that you're speaking to. So having these resources is, and finding the resources you need to be successful, is one of the only ways to get there. Let's say there was someone who had a tip or a content area that they felt they had an expertise in. How would you want them to come to you to see if they could be of value to the SIG?
Well, the funny thing about that is we actually tried to figure out how do you find us, right? So give me a second and I'll grab my notes, but we just created a new email for the SIG. So let me read it off to you so that I don't read it wrong. That's okay. It is brand new. But it's acfsig.aompt@gmail.com. So acfsig.aompt@gmail.com. Let's make sure I say that again. So if we have to pause for a second, that's all right.
So let's say there was someone out there who had a specific skill set or felt like they had something to offer to the SIG. How would you want them to contact you to provide that help?
Well, the good news is the SIG just created a Gmail this year. So we're going to try it and see if we can get some traffic through there, whether you have a question for me or one of the officers, or if you have an idea for Edutopia or even have a lecture you might want to share. So the easiest way to do that is to use this little phrase for our email. So it's acfsig.aomp@gmail.com. So acfsig.aomp@gmail.com. And we did that because ACF is that Academic Clinical Faculty Special Interest Group. So the first part of the email is the name of the SIG.
That's great. We'll definitely put a link to that in the show notes as well so people could do that, because I think a lot of people have a ton to offer, as we know from fellowship, and maybe don't want to often get too involved because they're already so involved in other things, but could provide you with like a little helpful tip or something that worked or didn't work for them, like you're speaking about. And that could be super helpful for you all as we continue to try to put content out there.
Yep. And one of the things we did during COVID at the time was try to create a very rapid resource bank. So like I was treasurer at the time. So we were trying to create a bank of things. And that was a task for me to do. And we're in the process right now of just trying to look at how do we get even some of these old things back out to members, because times have changed since COVID. Storage has changed since COVID. Staff has changed across like our committee and across AOMP. So ask me in a year where we are, but if we have that ACFF SIG resource bank, it'll be released and it'll be open access, right? I'm hoping that we don't have to charge people for that. This would be a membership benefit if I had my dream. And then if you have a dream and you want to bring forth a lecture or something, wouldn't it be nice if you were teaching and you are not an expert in TMJ and you're like, if I could just find a 1-hour lecture that gets me started, I would love it if you pulled up an old lecture of mine and said, here's how I taught TMJ 10 years ago, and how can you make that better? And of course, we'd want to do the right thing and show students this was not my original platform, and give credit to the right person where credit is due, but say that you modified and morphed that. It's kind of like Creative Commons for the SIG, right? We're giving this away. We're letting you use it. Feel free to modify it. But if you think you made it better, hey, maybe send it back. So that
definitely
is something I think would be great.
I have a TMJD lecture. I know we talked about this at conference. That's my one of my specialty areas. And I would love for that content to be out there because I designed it in the way that I wished it was presented to me. And it takes so many years to understand the material in order to present it in a way that is in that manner. So I think that would be totally helpful for people just starting out, as well as, why do we all recreate the wheel on similar content? We should find who does it the greatest and continue to improve it and get that to as many students as possible. So I love that idea of a resource bank.
Yeah, and I want all PTs to be good PTs, right? So if we could learn from each other, and I know you and I had a conversation just about moving education forward in the future, right? It's okay. I've created intellectual property for a lot of different schools now with all the places I've taught at. But sometimes it is frustrating to reinvent that wheel. And if there were ways that we could share free things, I'd want the general public to know what is the best way to treat your TMJ so you're not getting treatment that you shouldn't. I want everyone to know what is manual therapy. Why is a physical therapist skilled to do that? And if you get this, it's not manual therapy. And you should even be questioning the treatment that you're getting or seeking out someone like a fellow if you have that complicated case and you're trying to do that. So educators have to think about all of these things. So imagine the perfect world of a three-level TMJ lecture. How do you reach the high school student to get them interested in that, okay, in physical therapy? Then you create the lecture for the DPT students. How does that look different for the residents? And then what do you do for that postdoc fellow, right? It's the same joint. It's the same part moving, just like mine. But we have to show that it needs to be educated across multiple different levels and be articulate and be correct and things like that. And that's kind of how I started with the pain world. Is I got to be a TA in a class. We started a program. She started the program from scratch. At the time, Marquette only was one of four schools that had a designated pain class. And this was, over a decade ago. Like, we've been teaching that class together. We taught that class together for quite some time. And she's there now morphing it into the next best thing. And we had labs before. That class doesn't have lab now, but that content has expanded so much because of that. So I was able to take that pain content and bring it across other schools, but I would rather, like you said, have pain be taught correctly and give people the top 10 things that they should have versus have somebody take what comes out internationally, interpret it what they think it is, and say, this is what it should be taught. So we have to think about, where's that fine line between what we can share and what you're proud of. And what you know you need to do for your business is fine, but there are also ways that I think we can meet in the middle and collaborate on something that could be shared and then made better by the next person who touches it.
Definitely. I think that's very well said. Thank you so much for your time today. I think this was awesome. Is there anything else you want to say on behalf of the SIG or yourself personally to the audience?
Yeah, I guess one of the things that I don't think people realize is being on the SIG is actually part of your scholarly work if you are an educator. So when you have to get a commitment to a university and say 10% is scholarly work and 25% is your research and the other part is your teaching load, applying to a SIG for an officer position is really a nice way to say, this is my give back to the community. So what we've been doing with the SIG too is also recognizing exiting members via a certificate. So if you ever have to prove like that you were the volunteer, AAMP worked with us last year to help someone justify their time for their OCS recertification. Having the time on the SIG counts for that as well. I like being on here because I did a lot of stuff at the state level before I moved up to doing things at AAMP, which is at a national level. So if you need to be a new person and you're trying to get your cred bumped up, I would recommend looking at any of the SIGs at AAMP or, of course, join ours and become a member, become a volunteer. I'd be happy to send you an email saying, thank you for contributing to the SIG and helping with this so that if you ever have to back that up, we're here for you. We're here to show that you helped out. But being an officiator, even helping on nominating committee, like we need everybody that makes up this SIG to make this work. And like shout out to all of the members that we have this particular year. So John Hike is our secretary. Christina Kuka is our she's our VP, so her and I have been on this committee together. Dustin Barrett has been helping with the committee for quite some time. And then we have Nicole Windsor. She joined our committee, and she'll be trailing off after this election cycle. And then Jake Arwick is with our committee. And now we have our new person, Caitlin Boyko, joining in. So if we could pause.
Well, that's great. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about your work with the SIG?
Well, one of the things that people don't realize if you're going into academics, okay, is that this helps. Being a member of a SIG, an officer of a SIG, helps your scholarly work at the university. So I'm an adjunct faculty member, but not a core faculty member at any of the schools. But if I was a core member, I would have to produce some type of volunteer or service as part of my employment. with the university. So by starting out in the SIG, and let's say you just want to get introduced to it and be part of the nomination committee, you'll have a certain part of the year where you'll be busier, you'll attend different meetings. But with our SIG, the people that are involved in there have been able to show their university a national commitment to an organization by being part of the ACFF SIG with AOMP. So that might be able to give them more joy to do a volunteer act in a profession and an organization like AOMP, because that's their passion, versus being on a committee that looks at the safety at the university's equipment. Like, both of those things are important. They're both scholarly work. But if you talk to your immediate chair, and being part of what we're doing here counts for your scholarly work, you might just find that to be more fun. So I want all new people out there who are maybe interested in teaching to think about now getting on a national committee somewhere, so that when you go to your job interview, you have that already in your back pocket. And you can say, I was already part of the ACF SIG nationally for 2 years. And if you hire me at your university, you can see that I already have a commitment to service. So that's kind of one of those, you know, behind the scenes, prep it before you need it kind of thing. But that's what I wanted to share about the SIG.
I think that's good to know. I'm on the research committee with AMPT, and I didn't even think about that. So I think that's a good point, as well as my SCS is coming up for renewal, and that could be another area potentially where I could show some scholarly work. So I think we're all doing a lot of things, and being able to, you know, double dip and show our work is probably super helpful. So that's a great point.
And don't forget to get a certificate for your time on any of the SIGs or committees. So we, for the first time, had to reach out to AOMP and ask them, like, can I attest to someone's involvement in my committee or my SIG, or should you do that? And AOMP took that right away from me and said, nope, we're going to produce a nice certificate for them so that not only will their chair see that, they can do that. And then just remember, SIGs are here, committees, like research committee is even bigger yet. Board of directors for AOMP would be down the road. But I like being able to start in a simple platform, like I did a lot of stuff for my state first and then moved out to here at a national level. I've done some other national projects for other institutions or organizations. But if you have big aspirations down the road to represent your profession on a bigger level, being involved in SIGs and committees and things like that can only help you down the road. And if you don't mind, if I could just give a quick shout out to my committee members that I have this year. Again, we produced 3 Edutopias just in 2024, 2 breakout sessions at AOMP. And it was because the collaborative effort of 6 people thought it was important to bring forward, you know, the information that we did. And we committed to the video proportion of a recorded lecture for AOMP so that AOMP can use that down the road, and then presented live. But just give me a second and let me just rattle off where we're at with everybody. So a good president can't be anywhere without good SIG members. So I have Christina Chuka as my VP, and her and I have worked together across different roles. So that's been nice to have her as my next in command, right? And then, believe it or not, having a good secretary for the SIG is an absolute must. And John Hike and I never got a chance to meet until he was elected. So it's been good to have him see what we've been doing in the past and make our minutes even better. But now we have a nice long history of what we're doing and what agenda are we working on and who keeps us focused at meetings so that we stay on task. And then we have Dustin Barrett. And Dustin is our treasurer for the group. So I'll be talking to him later about, hey, I just committed to this resource bank and you'll be helping me organize that as our SIG treasurer. But you can't be anywhere unless people are nominated and elected. So our non-com members, we have a senior member, Nicole Windsor. She's stepping out of our role this year after giving good years of service to the committee. And then the last person, who is our junior non-com committee member, is Jake Arrick. And he was also one of the presenters that we had at AOMP. So it's been nice to meet new people, I'm just blessed as the president to have a group of some people that I didn't even know when they were elected come together as just this awesome team and make teaching better. And then take that whole concept of teaching and bring it all the way down to an orthopedic manual therapy level, because we need to teach that content as well. But chances are you're going to meet an educator who's taught something else other than manual therapy. And then just bringing all that to the forefront is just good for everyone.
Well, Dr. Geiser, I really appreciate your time today and the effort on behalf of your SIG and all the names you just mentioned. I loved getting to know you at AAMPT. I love talking to you now. I think this is great information for the membership. And I know that there's more people out there that probably want to and can support this. So I hope that the audience listening can hear that and reach out to you via the email that we'll post in the show notes so that they can help support the great work that you all are volunteering to do.
And remember, if you meet me a year from now and you have, remembering this part of this podcast, please just still come up to me and say hello. It's not that you need to meet me now or work with me now, but we'll be chatting. We'll be doing stuff together, few of you. So come find me.
I look forward to it. Any last remarks that you want to say?
Last remarks is I can't thank AAMPT enough for actually starting the podcast. I was able to be part of one in the past, as I had mentioned, with Danu to just talk about a previous breakout session that we did. But the hands-on, hands-off, I think, is good for us. It's good for our future. It's good to have different people bring to light topics that we need to hear about across a large, large spectrum of things, whether it's something from our professionalism or academics, or just understanding terminology, hearing somebody's little caveat of expertise. I look forward to what AAMPT is going to produce. And I'm just so thankful, very, very thankful that you asked me to be part of this one.
Yeah, it's a great point. Being on the podcast and, from Stephen Schaefer starting it to now getting the video piece of it and sharing across different medias, I think I'm starting to really brand, and that's wonderful. So thank you again for your time, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.